The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He went and said to the first, 'My boy, you go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not go,' but afterwards thought better of it and went. The man then went and said the same thing to the second, who answered, 'Certainly, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the father's will?" "The first," they said. Jesus said to them, "I tell you solemnly, tax collectors and prostitutes are making their way into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you a pattern of true righteousness, but you did not believe him. And yet the tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even after seeing that, you refused to think better of it and believe in him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Actions speak louder than words, but I was rather deflated when I looked at the front of the newsletter, having chosen that opening line, and there it was, for you to read at your leisure after this. More trouble at the vineyard today. Last week there was trouble over wages, grumbling over the wages. Today it's the confrontation with the two sons, one who said he would do the job and didn't, and the other lad who stomped out and refused to do it and then went later and did the job. And one of the modern commentators is saying perhaps we need to add a third child in today's world, one that's maybe self-conscious and ill at ease, who asks the father not to ask too loudly or publicly, embarrassed that in case anyone overhears or sees him working in the vineyard. Because what our children in our schools face is enormous pressure not to believe, enormous pressure if it's known they believe or they actually come to Mass. But how often have we ourselves said we'll do something, but we don't do it? Sometimes we might agree to do something because it's polite to do so, or it's what we expect the person that's asked us to do something, they think, oh, it'd be a bit polite, but actually we've no intention of doing it. Other times we might agree to do something or do something for someone, and with the best of intentions, life gets in the way, things happen, time moves on, and we don't complete the task. In the Lord's parables, there are always real situations that we can relate to. We can relate to that, can't we? Because we know, and you know with your children and your grandchildren, you might ask them to do something, and you know as well as they know, they've actually no intention of doing whatever you've asked of it. And they know that you probably know that too. Well, the Lord is very realistic. He knows what we like. But he's still the King. And he's still there calling us to work in his kingdom. Because that's the point of the parable. Every Christian called to go and to work in the kingdom. So at the end of every Mass, we're sent out to, in peace, to love and serve the Lord, or in a few weeks' time, the new translation, one of them could be, go and announce the gospel of the Lord, or it might be, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. But it's the same thing. We're sent out at the end of Mass to actually do the Lord's work, to work in his vineyard, bringing his kingdom. And the Christian mission can be described as simply as this. The best way to be a friend of Jesus is to bring a friend to Jesus. We all know the many who have been baptized. We know those who've made their first communion. We know those who've received confirmation. made the solemn promises, either for themselves or in infant baptism, parents and godparents, and yet we ask the question, where are they? Some, of course, are here, because you are. Others, we know we may never see again. Others, like the one son, do repent and actually come back. And there's an important thing there. At least, if we've had something, we've got something to come back to. That's why we, as the Lord says elsewhere in the Old Testament, cast your bread on the waters. We cast the bread on the waters for our children and grandchildren, even your great-grandchildren, and we know not what, but we do it. And if they've had something, there's always that moment that may just click, and like the sun, they come back. And always, important to remember the parables, this one and the prodigal son, the father treats them equally. He says to both sons, will you go and work? The prodigal father goes to both. He welcomes the one son. He goes out to the other one. But in this story, which of them did the father's will allows for only one answer, only one son did his father's will. When I read that, I'm always mindful of a very sort of canny and wise lady churchwarden I had in London, who often remarked at meetings, because as you all know, we all have endless meetings. She always said, when all is said and done, more is said than done. And then she would always add, and we're here to do the work, so let's get on with it. It's an important point, because we all know we can be good at setting the world to rights. We know we can say an awful lot, and we go home better if we've said it, but it's the work. The Lord said to us, go and work in my vineyard. He's not just talking about lip service, just talking about it. He's talking about action, actions speaking louder than our words. And so what the Lord's saying is, if you're involved in his vineyard, you've got to get your hands, in a sense, dirty. You've got to get on with his work. There's no time for the sort of spirituality that says, it's my mind your own business, say your own prayers, save your own soul, but don't get your hands dirty in his vineyard. Or maybe we need to be shaken out of our comfort zones otherwise. But on the Lord's farm today, the harvest is huge, and that's why he needs the workers for the vineyard. There are many, many who've not heard the news of Jesus, who are wandering down aimless roads of no meaning. They're bored, angry, aggressive, jaded, sick from sensuality, living without hope. And the last thing they want is condemnation from us. And God didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't tick the sons off. He ticked off the Pharisees because they were claiming to do the work. But he didn't do it in the parable. What he did was reach out. He just was gentle and asked his sons. And in a way, that's what we've got to do. They need actually a helping hand to pick them up. We saw lots of all that in August, the bored, the angry, the aggressive, the aimless, senseless violence and looting and all the things that we heard and thought about and saw on our screens. We also need to have in mind those whose experience of religion was so negative that it seemed to immunize them against it. And that's something we've always got to bear in mind, that we can be immunized almost against the Lord. And there again, they don't need our condemnation. They need that gentleness of the Lord who says, come, will you go and work in the vineyard? Or is inviting them to come to him. Because his state, though it was divine, he humbled himself. And it's not in that aggression that we go out, but it's in humility we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. When he was here just over a year ago, the Pope said during Blessed John Henry Newman, says that there can be no separation between what we believe and the way we live our lives. In a few moments, we profess what we believe. And that's part of why we gather together and we profess that faith. But we are to take that out. For to follow the Lord doesn't mean walking in his footsteps. It means actually mirroring in our lives his life. And that's the challenge of every Sunday's gospel, but today's particularly for us.